during worship this morning, I saw a scale, and God says, I give every person a scale that's balanced. And people, we as people, what we do is we keep putting stuff on our side of the scale, and it gets it unbalanced, you know, too much stuff on our side. And we step back and go, my life's unbalanced. So what do? Instead of taking stuff off, we try to prop the scale up with more stuff underneath, and it doesn't bring it back into balance. God is saying, take your stuff that's clogging up, they're too heavy on your side, and let me balance your life out again.
Amen. Is that in the Bible? Man, I'm glad y'all asked. Proverbs 14:1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord. So, you know, you said something this morning, Nate, that I thought I ought to, Pastor Nate, I thought I ought to elaborate on. God called you to be you. But we get that distorted in this life because of the way people treat us, talk to us, looks they give us. We watch TV and we try to come up, we have some hero, something that we like about him because he's popular or she. And then we try to be like them or do stuff or dress like them or whatever. You know, or people at school or something like that. All of us, we all do the same thing. But you will never be content until you're who God created you to be. And when you start becoming who he called you to be, whew. See, like for me, like memorizing the Word of God, reading the Word of God, I'm like this Word of God person, okay? Well, you don't have to memorize thousands of verses. You don't have to have done what I did. Maybe God's called you to be a song person, so go be a song person. And maybe he's called you to be a shofar, whatever. All these words. And it's like, maybe you're supposed to, I have a shofar. I have one at home. Whenever I see y'all blowing it, I'm like, huh, I got one. Why don't I ever bring it? And it's like, it's not what God wants me to do. In fact, this morning, when y'all were blowing them, and I asked him, he said, if you brought it, they would want you to step up. They would put you in the middle. They would defer to you. And I'm like, and he's like, and that's not what I want. Do you understand? God doesn't cookie cutter. Have you ever made cookies? Do you know what I'm talking about, cookie cutter? I know a few of you women know what I'm talking about. Some of them may not, because maybe they don't bake. I don't know. But do you men know what I'm talking about? God did not cookie cutter us. You're not supposed to be like somebody else. You're supposed to be who he created you to be. I felt like there's things I want to share with you. So why don't we just read these verses first? And am I supposed to do that first? No. Okay, I guess not. Okay. There's about 3-4 things today we're going to talk about. And you're going to get something today that's going to change your life. Do you want your life to change? I mean, serious? Okay. Really? Like, want more of Jesus? Like, want all of Jesus? Okay. Less of me, more of him. Okay. I felt like he said he wanted me to teach you this. I was in Bible college. I was a Bible major, and then I was a English minor, which means I minored in English, which is kind of like, you know, taking English in Bible college. Because I love English. It's how he created me. I don't know why I like English. You know, I think, why would I like English, you know? And my wife says, Harvey, you can write like a professional, but you talk like an idiot, you know? Sometimes you just slaughter it. You say, I ain't gotta. Well, I ain't gotta, you know? So, okay, but I want to help you with something. I want to help you with something. First of all, let's pray. This is all about you, Jesus. And we just want you to be the teacher. We ask that you would take today. Help us right now to prepare ourselves and say, I want to break agreement with everything that's not Jesus. I want to focus right in on what Jesus has for me today. I want to be teachable, Holy Spirit. And I am willing to apply into my life what it is you're showing me today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That simple. Okay. Now, first thing we're going to do is this. I'm sorry I didn't write it bigger, but I wrote Philippians 1:21. So if you want to open your Bible to Philippians 1:21, I really love using this verse when I'm talking to people. The Holy Spirit must really like using this verse because he brings it to me all the time when I'm talking to people, like about memorizing scripture, okay? When you, like King James Bible has meter or it has a beat to it, okay? For example, Philippians 1:21, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So there's about, what is that? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die, five beats. You get it? For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You got it? Are you with me? Meter, like, you know, like in a song, how it has a meter, a beat. Okay? King James is like that. Now watch. I just love it. Okay. When you have a sentence, there are three things in a sentence. I want you to get this, that are primary for you to understand a sentence. Number one is subject. What is it talking about? What is the subject? What is the sentence talking about? I'm not trying to teach you English here today, even though it sounds like it. I'm trying to help you with Jesus. If some of you in this, some of you today are going to get what I'm saying, and you are going to skyrocket in God. This is going to help you like you can't even imagine how this is going to help you. When you have a sentence, when somebody speaks, there is a subject. What are they talking about? There is a verb. What is the action of that sentence? And there is an object. What is the subject and the verb pointing to? Okay? Now, you ready? Did anybody get that? What? Huh? I know. Anyway, here we go. You can't help it. Are you ready? Watch this now. We got a sentence. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Okay? I'm going to give anybody or everybody a chance to tell me, what is that sentence talking about? What's the subject? That's exactly right. It's not me. Life and death. Okay? That's what he's talking about here. Whenever you see two words in the Bible, when you see two words and God's making a comparison, it's because he's telling you there's a comparison. You can have one or the other. Okay? He's making a comparison here. Living or dying. Okay? So he's making a comparison. In this particular case, it's not really a comparison, but those words are comparison, okay? But we're gonna go with this. Keep going. Now watch. So the subject really is to live. What is, and see, I could be wrong. Some English teachers can tell me, Harvey, you're wrong. Well, I'm telling you, this is going to help you if you get this. What's the verb? Okay, to live is actually the verb. So what's the subject then? Okay, I don't know how to say it right. I just know this. I don't know how to say it. I didn't say it all the right words, okay? All right, watch. Okay, me's the subject. What am I supposed to do to live? And then what am I supposed to live? Christ. He's the object. Okay, here we go. Are you ready? When you have a verse, so often I've seen myself reading a verse to y'all, and you're just like looking at me like an RCA dog. Huh? I said, do you know what that means? And you just go. You drop your jaw, and I'm like, do you get it? And you don't get it. You know why? Let me explain. If you write this down, this passage, Matthew 22, 34 to 40, when we started this church, God said, do you know what kind of church this is? I said, I don't have a clue. I said, I've never seen anything like this. This doesn't fit in any Baptist box or any other box I've ever seen. I don't know what this is. He said, it's called a relationship church. Now, I never heard those words before. I said, a relationship church? What does that mean? Chapter and verse? Show it to me in the Bible, God. He said, Matthew 22, 34 to 40. So I turn over there, and a lawyer's trying to trip up Jesus and says, Master, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus basically said, let's make it real simple for you, lawyer. He said, vertically, love God with everything. Horizontally, you're going to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Basically, what you build your life on is what's going to come out of you to other people. If you don't like yourself, you're not going to like other people. They're going to feel like you don't like them. If you're bitter, you're going to release bitterness. If you're full of joy and you're happy with yourself, guess what's coming out of you? Joy and happy with yourself toward them. Do you understand? If you have a good relationship with God and you know that you're loved for who you are, you're going to love other people for who they are. But if you think you're only loved because if you do right, then you're loved, then you're going to be judging other people, and I don't love you if you don't do right. Do you understand? What we do with ourselves and God, you understand? What we do, what we think about ourselves is going to flow out of us to other people. This sentence right here, when you look at this verse, when God told me, he said, Matthew 22, 34 to 40, he said, Harvey, because he goes on to say this, he says, love God with everything and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And then he said this in Matthew 22, on these two commandments, love God, love others. Are you listening? What are the two commandments?
Love God, love others.
Okay, what are they again?
Okay,
let's look at the cross. What are they? What are they? It's so simple. And you know what he told me? He showed me in that verse 40. He says, on these two commandments, love God, love others, hang all the law and the prophets. He said the whole Bible is basically love God and love others. He said, that's the whole point. He said, if somebody misses that point, he said, they probably don't know me. They're on their way to hell. They don't even know me. They may go to church, but they're just religious. They're just keeping a bunch of rules. They're just a member of some glee club. You know, maybe they're a Mason. Maybe they're a Kiwanis. Maybe they're a Christian. You know, this church person over here. He said it has nothing to do with about rules. It has to do with about love. Rules didn't hold Jesus to the cross. Nails didn't hold him there. He's God, for crying out loud. If the Terminator can walk through a wall, what do you think God could do? I'm sorry. You think they can come up with something better than what God could do? I could show you where Jesus walked through the wall first in the book of John. After his resurrection. You ready? So he said this. Love God, love others. He said that's the whole Bible in a nutshell. He said all the rest of this Bible, 1,189 chapters, he said all the rest of it are details. It's fluff. Doesn't mean you throw it away. What it means is, let's get it in perspective. What's the perspective? Love. Loving God and loving others. I don't know that lady sitting back there. But if I hung around her and I found out that that lady loved God and she loved others, she could be doing all kinds of other things wrong. And I would still like being around her and like her in my life and appreciate her because she loved God and loved others. But if she doesn't love God and love others, but she's trying to keep all the right rules, but she doesn't have the right spirit, the right attitude, she's a taker, she's hurting people, do you understand? I don't want nothing to do with her. Do you understand what I'm saying? Love, the Bible says, covers the multitude of sins. When somebody is in love, isn't it neat when you see somebody? I'm driving down the street and I see these older people. And they're holding hands. And they're walking. There's this older couple that walks in my neighborhood. And they're about this big. They kind of hunched over. And they walk along like this, holding hands. And they walk around blocks. And whenever I see them, sometimes I'll go, you know, or I don't know, say stuff like, keep holding hands, y'all are doing good, or you're a good example to us young people, you know, or whatever, you know what I mean? I just have fun. I don't care. I'm trying to encourage them. I've done this with people doing that. When you see people in love, it's like they're different. There's a glow about them. Their eyes are all sparkly. They don't kick the dog when the dog gets in the way. They just kind of float over the dog, you know? I want you to get this. Every Bible verse has a phrase in it. Every Bible verse, or at least most of them, they have a phrase in it where God's wanting, it's a point of that verse. What is the verse teaching? If you did away with, and you just did this, to live is Christ, to live is Christ. You can exist without Christ, dead man walking. I see him, almost everybody I meet, they're dead people walking. But you can't live without Christ. You can exist without Christ, but you can't live without Christ. Who does it apply to? For me. For me. And even when I'm living for Christ, even if I die, there's gain there. There's points to that. I want you to understand something. And that is, what is the crux? What is the point? What is the, how else do I say it? The focus of that verse. Okay, before we go more there or put that into practice, I feel like he wanted me to share this with you, and then I'm probably going to share this. Somebody say amen. Okay. So it goes like this. It goes like this. Either you're going to be standing with Jesus, crawling with Jesus, walking with Jesus, or running with Jesus. Which would you rather do? Huh? Okay, flying with Jesus. How about that? All right. So let me give you a couple keys of how to do that. You ready? Number one, for church, you need to prepare the day before. Prepare your mind. You know, your BSS, your body, soul, spirit. You need to prepare your body. You need to prepare it. When Janiah was a kid, and kids would come and spend the night at our house, because I didn't let my kids go spend the night at their house, hardly ever. But they came and spent the night. I know what goes on at my house. I don't know what's going on at your house, so I'm not trusting my kids over at your house. I'm sorry. But you can trust the kids at my house. People didn't have a problem. But I had a problem with them going to their house. What are they going to watch on TV? What if my kids want to do something? Are they going to watch them and make sure they don't do it? No, they don't have the standards because I see what they do with their own kids. I'm not going to let you're not going to do that to my kids. You're not going to flush my kids down the toilet just because your kids are getting flushed down the toilet. That's why I'm the youth director. I'm going to try to save your kids, but I'm sure not going to send my kids to your house to get flushed down the toilet. Sorry, did I say that? Yes, I did. Okay, so here's what we need to do. We need to prepare. It's time to go. It's going to be church. This is every week. Prepare the day before. Make sure there's gas in your car. Make sure the car's ready. Make sure. What do you need to do? This is your homework. Why don't you, this week, write down, what do I need to do to prepare my body, soul, and spirit for church? On purpose. What do you need to prepare? Is there anybody that's going to do that homework? I just want to know, you know, okay, will you do that homework? I want you to write it out and bring it to me. What do you need to do to prepare your body, your soul, and your spirit? You need to have clothes ready. You need to take a shower, for crying out, please. We're going to pray for you. Please take a shower and brush your teeth, okay? I'm not being funny. I'm asking you to be merciful to us. We'll pray for you anyway, but it'd be nice if you showered. Okay. You need to get peace with God and then His presence when you're coming to church. Have you ever come to church and you're in a bad mood? You got something bad happen. You feel bad. You're like, I don't want to be here. I don't like anybody. You're the Tasmanian devil. And I watch them, and it takes them an hour. And about time church is getting done, they're just getting over it. And then they want to stay. They want to stay because now they're ready for church. Why didn't they get ready before they came? You know, I'm talking to some people here today. I asked God, why are you having me do this? He said, this is for the 12. He didn't say that. But it was like inside of me, I knew that. It was like, this is for special disciples. That's what we're talking about as disciples. You're special disciples. That's why everybody's not here today. This is for you. This is for you. Remember, you can stand while Jesus is walking. You could just stand there. You could crawl to try to keep up with Jesus. You could walk, or you could run, or like Paul said, we could fly like an eagle. Okay. So you need to get peace with God. How do you do that? Before you come. Are you listening? When you're on your way to church, get peace with God. You got a bunch of stuff inside of you. Bring it to God. Does He hear you? Does He care about you? Then pour it out to Him before you get here. Don't come here whining and crying. I mean, look, if you need to come here whining and crying, okay, but you know what? It's been a year now. It's been 3 years now. I mean, don't you want to go forward? Huh? Which one? Where are you going to? Are you going to just keep standing here when Jesus is walking on? Are you going to keep crawling? Do we need to keep changing your diapers every time you come every Sunday? Are you ready to grow up? I want to walk with Jesus. Well, see, I want to run with Him. And then Paula, she wants to fly. So I'm looking forward to what Paula's going to do with what we're talking about. So we need to get peace with God. We need to bring Him all of our troubles, all of our needs. We need to get peace with God. We need to deal with Him. What? What? Yeah, I know you were. Yak, yak, yak. Okay. And barefoot girl. And so anyway, acting like my wife. Okay. All right. You should. All right. So you need to get peace with God. Yes, sir. Matthew 6. Before you, when you bring your gift to the altar, make sure that you've, if you have, yeah, you go and you deal with your brother. So in other words, you go and you ask them to forgive you, you know, and get it right with your brother, you know. Yeah, but they did this. Could you have been guilty of anything? Why don't we deal with your part and let God deal with their part? Go ahead. You want to say something? Do you hear what he just said? We're preparing the way for the Lord to be, for God to get loose. Because how can he get loose when we're entrapping him with all of our stuff? So we need to get peace with God. When you get peace with God, then you're going to get the presence of God. You want more of the presence of God? Well, this is the process. We got to prepare the day before. We got to prepare the morning of. When we're on our way, it would be good if you got it all squared away before you came. Pour out your needs, pour out your hurts. Tell him, I need this, I need that. He did this to me, she did that to me. And let him come and hold you and kiss you and let him make it right. And then say, now, God, I need your presence. And he's like, I was waiting for this part. And then when you get to church, and this is for your day, too. This is not just coming to church, but it's your every day. Be a participant. Let God flow. Quit being a prison for God. When God says, Dudley, I want you to talk, and you say, no, let Janiah do that. I don't want to talk. He says, Janiah, I want you to, and she's like, no, let Dudley do that, you know. And God's like, no, I told you because I want to do it through you. Because if I did it through Dudley, they wouldn't know it's God because you talk all the time. But if you let Dudley talk, it must be God. You see what I'm saying? It's like God wants to flow through each one of us individually. God has exactly what he's got you where he wants you to be, with the people he wants you to be with. If he wanted me to be with them, he'd put me with them. But if he put me with them, they probably wouldn't listen because I'm not the guy for them. You are. Do you understand? Do you understand? You want more of the presence of God? I want you to turn over to two verses. Psalm 36:9 and a comparison verse is Proverbs 4:18. Psalm 36:9 says this, in thy light shall we see light. When you walk in the light God gives you, he gives you more light. I don't think you heard that. He didn't say if you know the light, he'll give you more light. He said if you walk in the light, he'll give you more light. Light, you want to write this down, light is progressive. That's what Proverbs 4:18 says. But the path of the just, people that have been justified by the blood of Jesus, okay, just as if they never sinned. You ready? But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more and more unto the perfect day. If Jesus physically was standing right here, do you want to be over here and say, I'm in the building. Jesus is right there. It was so cool. It was in the building where Jesus was. You want to be in the building? There's some that are going to be like here. I love you, Jesus. And then there's some are going to, Jesus, and then there's going to be those of us like Mercada. Do you understand? Like how close? And as you get closer to him, the light gets brighter and brighter. And as you're pressing into him, it's like you disappear. and there's nothing but light. We're not living darkness. It's like getting closer and closer and closer, and it's like just your whole body is full of light. Remember in Matthew where it says, if thy eye be single, thy whole body is full of light, but if thy eye be evil, how great is that darkness? Single focused, Jesus. That's what you're about, right? I know every one of you in this room, that's what you're about. That's what you're about, John. Thought I'd tell you. You're about Jesus. I know you are. I know you are. You're addicted. Even when your mommy don't come, you come. I told my wife that last week. I go, this is so cool. Those two girls came and their mommy couldn't come. Yeah. Isn't that? And see, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, I wish I could just teach you balance. He's talking about balance. Boy, I love talking about balance. But anyway, so now I feel better now. Oh, let's see. Oh, these three, I want you to write these down. Okay? When you're reading a Bible verse, I want you to ask yourself three questions. Okay? When you're reading a Bible verse, number one, what is the verse saying? And ask God, God, what is this verse saying? Don't say, well, I've got a high IQ. Well, I'm not dumb. I can figure it out. I don't know how to tell you, but if God had a bad day, little Miss Toot, your best day wouldn't compare. Okay? God is smarter than we are. He knows what he meant. He's the author. And he knows you inside and out, and he knows what you need. What is this verse saying? Number one, what is this verse saying? Number two, what does this verse mean? When you say, what is it saying? Understand, slow down enough. You know, we talk about reading the Bible, and we talk about reading three chapters a day. Are you doing that? Okay. Are you reading your Bible every day? However many chapters? Are you reading your Bible every day? Just raise your hand. Do me a favor. Okay. Anybody else? Oh, okay. Okay, good. I know you're writing. I'm sorry. Okay, here we go. So, we're reading, right? What if you just read, you read your three chapters, but you feel like you didn't get anything out of it? You just read them, but it's like, okay, I'm in a hurry. I got to go to work, but I got to read my Bible. Because preacher said so. You ever done that? Didn't get anything out of it, did you? Now, I'm not giving you an excuse to start reading one verse a day. So go pick up the daily bread and read some little ditty. I'm sorry, some little devotional. Those are okay. Like Dana's wife and Dana. They send me a verse every day. You know, like whatever. They just pick a verse. I don't know where they or how they pick them. But they just, every day they send me a verse, sometimes two or three. But they'll send me a verse every day out of the Bible. And I look at them and they help me. Almost every single time. It's like, I wouldn't have picked that verse, but it just helped me. Because I receive it. But God would rather you read one verse. For to me, who's it talking to? Me. Who needs to make the decision? Me. What do I need to do? I need to understand that to live is Christ. I can exist without Christ. What's the opposite of living? Existing or dying. Okay? Well, in the context of on the earth, there's some people that live and there's other people that exist. They just go from day to day. Their life is meaningless. What am I doing this for? Everything feels like mundane, routine. What am I even living for? It's because Jesus isn't their life. He's not something you put on. You know what I mean? He's not something you visit. He's someone who wants to be your very life, your very breath. Sometimes God has me say to people, do you know how precious you are to Jesus? Every time you breathe, it's only because Jesus Christ himself is walking up and giving you that breath. Because anytime he takes away that breath, you won't live anymore. If it wasn't for Jesus, you wouldn't be alive. So you read a verse and you say, what is the verse saying? When you break this down, the key is to live as Christ. To live as Christ. Now meditate on that. I'm a teenager. To live as Christ. To live as Christ. I'm a food server. To live as Christ. To live as Christ. This is what he has me doing. I'm going to do this. How would Jesus do it? What attitude would Jesus have? I want to give Jesus, every serving I give, I want it to be the bread of life to this little child. You see what I'm saying? Meditate on it. To live is Christ. Okay? So number one, what is the verse saying? Number two, what does the verse mean? What's it saying? Now, what does it mean? Number three, how does it apply to me? How does it apply to me? Am I letting Christ live? Is my life about Christ? Where is my life not about Christ? Where am I not including Christ? Where am I not living Christ? Where am I only existing? Where am I wishing my life was done? Do you understand? Where am I have no hope? Where am I giving up? Where am I miserable in my life? Oh, I didn't bring Jesus there. Oh, I'm not trusting Jesus there. Do you understand? I don't know if anybody remembers. It's on tape or whatever. A few weeks ago, God had me talk to you. He just gave me this revelation about how to walk on water. And I shared with you how to walk on water. Do you remember? Number one, admit, I can't walk on water. It's okay. He's fine. Mom, it's okay. Okay? And so number one, admit, I can't walk on water. Number two, find out what God wants you to do right now. What's God's word to you? If it's you, Lord, bid me come. What was God's word? Come. That was a personal word to Peter. So Peter, then you move on what God tells you. You get God's word for what God wants you to do. And then it's like, how do I move with that, Lord? How do I move? Hang on a second, little hot dog. Hey, hot dog. She's over there. If you want to go over there, go over there. I'm talking right now. Oh, really? Uh-huh. Thank you. Okay. Pow. Okay. You ready? Just once. Anyway, realize you can't do it. Admit you can't do it. Find out what God wants you to do, and then do that. And then how do you walk on the water? You keep your focus on Jesus. Don't look at the circumstances. So this week, I'm doing a job. And I'm overcome. And I start whining and crying and say, God, I can't do this. He said, you remember when I had you teach about walking on the water? Yeah. He said, what's walking on the water? I said, it's doing what's impossible. He said, isn't that what you were just telling me? This is impossible for me to do. I go, yeah. He says, then you got to walk on the water. And I'm going, huh? How? He said, what did you teach everybody else? Well, you got to admit you can't do it. God, I can't do it. You got to ask me, what's my word? What is it I want you to do? Well, you won't be doing this. Now, what do I got to do? I just got to do it by saying I'm willing to do it. And what's the baby step, Lord? What's the first step? I'm telling you something that I had to do this week. I've been having to do it almost every day. I take it back. I'm sorry. For a while now, I can't even get out of bed. This morning I told him, I don't want to get out of bed. I can't get out of bed. I can't do this day without you. I don't even want to do this day without you. I can't move without you. My body is in constant pain. My wife last night reached over and touched. I was touching her. You know, we're laying in the bed, you know. And I'm just touching her face or her neck or whatever. You know what I mean? Because we're going to bed. I was holding her hand, I think. And then she just touched my wrist, and I yelled or something. And she goes, "What?" And I said, "It hurt." I mean, all she did was barely touch me. My body is in so much pain, I can't even tell you. Doing what I'm doing right now is just hurting me so bad. And I keep getting up and down, and I'm like going, "Lord." And Brother Glenn says, "I could tell you're hurting." He says, "You walk. By the way you walk," he said, "you're like stiff." And I'm like, I can't help it. It's like I hear myself moaning and groaning all the time. I'm telling you this because I'm going through this just like you're going through this. I can't do this, God. What is it you want me to do? I want you to do this. What's the baby step? The baby step is just put a piece of tape on that part, let's say. Okay, because I have to mask something off. So I go to do that, and then God's grace, His ability, His power kicks in. When I'm willing and I take the first step, then God, like, what's His name? Kyle. Let me show you something. God, like, picks me up and carries me. And I'm able to do it. Because He carried me. I couldn't do it until He picked me up. I could put a piece of tape down, but I can't even conceive doing what I need to do the next 5 minutes because it's too hard on my body. Do you understand? Now, what do I do? How do I live? I keep my eyes on Jesus. I keep saying, "Jesus, I can't do this without You." He gave me a song. "Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another hour. My body's aching and my time is at hand." Hey, Kyle. "I won't make it. Without Your power, without Your grace, without Your face." And it's like I just hear myself singing that all day. He said, "Harvey, you have to stay focused on Me to get through this." One day my wife was having a cramp. And she was laying in the presence of God. And then all of a sudden her leg went into a cramp. And she started to get down and Jesus said, "Be still, don't move." She said, "But my leg." He said, "Focus on Me." She focused on Him and the pain went away. But after a while, she started thinking, "I wonder if my leg..." All of a sudden, she felt that pain. And Jesus said, "Focus on Me." When she focused on Him, the pain went away. When she thought about the pain came back. Do you understand? What if somebody was going to burn you at the stake? Because people have been done, you know, and I don't mean that in a funny way, you know, they called him Frank because they burned him like a hot dog, you know, oh, they're done, you know, but they burned him at the stake. How do you think people burned at the stake? Alive. How do you think they went through that and didn't deny Jesus? Because God, they kept their focus on God. If you want to see that, look in Acts chapter 7, around verse 53 to 5, somewhere in there. It talks about Stephen, and they were stoning him. And he had his focus on Jesus while they were killing him. That's how we've got to live. With Jesus, we could do anything, but we can't do it without him. Okay, Matthew chapter 12, 46 to 50. Matthew 12, 46 to 50. We're talking about disciples of Jesus. While Jesus yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one person said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But Jesus answered and said unto him that told him, who is my brother, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? Jesus said, you say they're my mother and my brethren. But that's from one perspective. That's an earthly perspective. He said, but let me tell you who I consider to be my mother and brethren. He stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Now watch, verse 50. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Do you know what the key to this passage is? Whosoever does the will of my Father which is in heaven. He's using an analogy, somebody saying, your mother and your brother want to talk to you. And he says, let me tell you who I consider to be my mother and brothers. He said, anybody that will do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Turn over to John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. John 8, 30 and 31, please. As Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. If you ask many people in America, do you believe in Jesus? Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. As Jesus spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those people which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Indeed, in truth. If you continue in my word. The first one, if you obey my word. Okay? That do the will of my Father. Number two, if you continue in my word. I was thinking this week about somebody that met Jesus. And I was asking, why did they do such and such? And God said, do you remember over in, I think it's Matthew 16:16, where it says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I go, yeah. He says, when somebody gets saved, he said, if they got saved, they're going to want to follow me. He said, but there's some people that go through the motions. It seems like they got saved, but they don't want to follow me. I didn't make it up. The verse is right there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's not that the baptism saves them. It's like it's proof that they got saved because they wanted to follow the Lord. And that's the very first thing he asked us to do. Somebody's not even willing to do that. Did they really want to come to Jesus, or were they just looking for a fire escape out of hell? You know what I'm saying? Were they just looking for feel good? Were they just emotional? Do you follow what I'm saying? Are you with me? I'm saying this to help you. I hope it helps you. Look in, so what is the key in John chapter 8, verse 30 and 31? To continue in his word. That's the key phrase. If we continue in his word. In verse 50, the key phrase was, um, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven. Turn it, John 13:35. John 13:35. You ready? By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Who's talking? Jesus. He says, by this shall all people on the planet know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. What is love? Oh, okay. Not judging others. What else? Doing what's best for the other person. What else? Doing what God would do for them. That's right. Love your neighbor like you love yourself. But we need to learn to love ourselves, because we see, when you hang out with God, if I could get Kyle's attention, for example, and like we've done with other little kids, and we say, ask God right now what he'd like to say to you. I say, because God wants to talk to you, and I can prove it. God's a jabberjaws. He made me in his image, so God's a jabberjaws. He likes to talk all the time, okay? And so you ask God, God, what do you want? Would you like to say something to me? Kids, every time we do it with a kid, you know what the kid says? He said, he loves me. I said, because he does. You know? And every kid, everywhere we ever go, when I go to do that exercise with that kid, and I'll say, would you like to hear God? Did you know God talks to people? No. Would you like to hear him? Yeah. I said, close your eyes and say, God, do you want to say anything to me? I said, when he says something, raise your hand. And so as soon as they close those little peepers, all of a sudden these little hands are shooting up. And I go, what did he say? He said he loves me. That's what he said to me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Because God loves you. Well, when you believe, what was our testimony of our erring brother last week? I've been doing all this stuff wrong and whatever, but you know what? I just realized I've been hearing that God loves me, but this week or 2 weeks ago, I finally accepted that God really does love me. Like, duh. But you know what? We have a hard time receiving that. We have a hard time believing that. Because others don't love us unless we do what they want. Or their love always has a cutoff point. What is love? Love doesn't have a cutoff point. God still goes to hell and sees the people he created for himself that will never get out of hell. And he goes there and it breaks his heart. But he goes there because he still loves them. He doesn't quit loving them just because they became his enemy, just because they made a choice against him. I told you about, I went to a man's house one time, walked in with my equipment, 29th and Lake Eastbrook. Walked in, and as soon as I walked in, the Holy Spirit said to me, that man is a damaged veteran. And I'm like, okay, what do I do with that? And he didn't say anything. I said, sir, where's your bathtub? And the man showed me where his bathtub was. I went in there, and I said, let me look at your tub. So when the man walked out, I said, God, what's the best way to fix this tub? And by the way, open the door for me to talk to him about you. And God said, you can't talk to him about me. I said, I can't talk to him about you. What'd you send me here for? I said, why can't I talk to him about you? He said, because he's already made an eternal decision, Harvey. I said, but God, that means he's on his way too. And he said, that's right. I said, why did you send me here? He said, because I still love him. And I sent you there because I want you to let me love him through you. But you can't say anything to him. When that man stands before God, and God's going to have to tell him, I can't let you into my heaven. And the man wants to make all his excuses and say, but nobody told me. And he's going to say, play the video. He said, I sent one of my carriers, one of the people that was infected with my love. I sent Harvey into your life. You remember that? And he loved you. Because I don't quit loving you even when you make the wrong choice. Are you ready? I'm going to say something. Hear me, please. If you get mad at me, if you get mad at this church, if you leave here, if you talk about us, if you slander us, if we go underground and you turn us into the cops, guess what? We're still going to love you. We're not going to quit loving you. We're not going to love you just because you do right. Paula, we keep loving you. We keep loving you all the time, right? Janiyah, keep loving you all the time, right? Dudley, Glenn, oh my, Glenn. There must be a God. I don't want us to have a cutoff place. People are going to hurt us. People are going to let us down. We don't cut them off. They just need more love. They need more healing. That doesn't. We're not winking at their sin. We're not saying it's okay to sin. What we're going to say is, what Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. She's been listening. She gets a star. All right. There is a reward to love those that love us. He didn't say there's not a reward. He said it's easy. He said it's easier to love those that love you. But he says, where you really get the reward is when you love those that don't love you, those that hate you. Say what? You hadn't got that reward yet? I bet you have, but not with everyone. But you have. Right, you have. And that's the hardest ones. Why did God put them in our life? Oh, I'm trying to help you. Don't start. Paula, okay, one more verse, John 15:14. You are my friends, Jesus said, if you do whatsoever I command you. See, he still loves you if you don't do what he commands you, but you're not his friend. He doesn't count you a friend. Do you understand? Somebody could be an American, and I'm going to accept them as an American. That doesn't mean they're my friend. I'm not inviting them into my house. I'm not going to confide in them. I'm not going to reveal stuff to them. Do you understand? Okay, I'm going to give you three more verses. That was the last verse in that part, okay? But I'm just giving you these four verses. I'm sorry. Just four. Luke 14:25-27, and then verse 33. Luke 14. This is those who wanted to go, who wanted to do more than just walk with Jesus. They wanted to run with Jesus. Because there's levels of being a disciple. Luke 14:25-27. You ready? And there went great multitudes with Jesus. Now picture this. He wasn't at burning bush because there was great multitudes. Okay? It says, and there went great multitudes with Jesus, and he turned and he said unto them, you know, there's too many of y'all. He said, I'm going to thin the crowd down a little bit. And they said, what? He said, this is going to be a hard saying for you. He said, if any man come to me and hates not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, and if he doesn't hate his own life also, he can't be my disciple. And then he says, and whosoever, that's one thing. And then he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then he goes on to say in verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, or all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. There's three conditions there. Okay? I'm going to read you something, and then we will... I'm just going to read you like a commentary from a couple of my friends, okay? At least I thought it was right here. Must be in, maybe it's in Luke 14. Give me a second here. Luke 14, is that where it was? Hate. The word hate here means to love less than. It means to choose instead of. Or it means to turn away from. A friend of mine named Adam Clark said this. Matthew 10:37, where it says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37 expresses the true meaning of this word when he says, he who loveth father and mother more than me. In Matthew 6:24, no man could serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or wealth. He uses the word hate in the same sense. When we read Romans 9, 13, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The meaning is simply, I have loved Jacob, the Israelites, more than Esau, the Edomites. In other words, I've loved, let's say, the Americans more than I've loved the Canadians. It's something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not, we'll do it the other way. Say he loves the Canadians more than the Americans. I don't care. Okay? And that this is no arbitrary interpretation of the word hate, but one agreeable to the Hebrew idiom, appears from what is said on Genesis 29. This is for those who want to go further. Genesis 29, verses 30 and 31. And he went also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. See, where Leah's being hated is explained by Rachel's being loved more than Leah. You can also find this in Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 to 17. Now, what another friend of mine called Matthew Henry says, natural affection must give way to divine grace. Our country is dear to us, and our family is even dearer, but our Father's house, who's the closest to us, is dearest of all. And yet they must all be hated. That is, we must love them less than Christ. We must love them less than Christ. Do you know why your life has been like it's been? Because God has chosen you. And if you're a friend of the world, you're going to be an enemy of God. And if you had a whole bunch of friends and you fit in with the world, you would have a hard time being a disciple of Christ, because you would compromise Christ to please your friends. I'm sorry, I just threw that in. Matthew Henry goes on to say, that is, we must love others less than Christ. Hate them in comparison with what we feel toward Jesus. And whenever any of these come in competition with Jesus, they must be postponed and the preference given to the will and honor of the Lord Jesus. If Jesus was a light so bright that you could not live, you couldn't see, you would be blinded by getting close to him. I would rather be blind and get right up where I can hug him than stay back at a safe distance where I can still see. Do you understand? Proverbs 4:18, Nate, Lee, Iden, Sue, and I were talking about this before service. But the path of the just. I'm talking to you, dear friend. I'm talking to you. The path that you are walking on. Brother Nate was saying, man, this thing just happened to me and I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I got to experience this. I can't even tell people about it because it's like, it's just so incredible. It was so God. And I don't know how I got here. I said, it's real simple. I said, your focus is His presence. And as you see, you know me, but you and I aren't real close. Now, Brother Glenn is closer to me than a lot of people in this room. Janiah is probably the closest of everybody I can see in this room. Okay? But Brother Glenn's pretty close. But let's take Ed. I love Ed. Ed loves me. He's learned to love me. And he decided he might as well because God's going to make him come here anyway. So he said, okay, I'll love him. And he said, but it's going to take you, God, to do it. And he goes, I know. That's why I put him in your life. That's just another exercise. Okay? Now, I know Ed, and Ed knows me. But because Pastor Glenn and I have spent more time together, shared more in God, been more open. He's brought me his problems. I brought him my problems. We're more open. Do you understand? He knows me better than you do. And so because of that, when I'm really hurting, I mean, I tell people, because I tell about anything to anybody, just about. But there's times that I need somebody to minister to me, and I don't just look for anybody. I look for my wife. I first look for Jesus. And then I look for my wife, Janiah, Pastor Glenn, basically in that order. Because they know me and they minister to me. They share with me. I can share with them. I share about with everybody. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like Jesus. He'll share with everybody, but the closer you get to him, the more he reveals to you. The more you understand him, the more you're able to enter into that place of glory and light and experience and blessing. That secret place. Take me away to that, to your secret place. Take me away to your secret place. I'll run away from everything else because I want to go to your secret place. You want to know the secret place? Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, live, remain, dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Under the shadow. You understand? Up close and personal. I want to help you with your every... When I'm praying for you during the week, I'm going through this stuff, and then I start praying. I find myself praying for you as a body. And what I keep wanting for you is to help you live Jesus in every area of your life. I want to see you get the victory, the peace, the joy. Not the feeling. We got a little feeling. Okay, good. But how do you live every day with Jesus? I appreciate all the experiences, all the feelings. But I can't live on them. I have to live on truth. I have to live on Jesus. I have to depend on Him. Because I'm crippled without Him. Do you understand? I am crippled without Jesus. I can't make it. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through this very next minute. I can't make it through this minute. My body's aching, and my time is at hand, and I won't make it unless you are in it right here, Jesus, in it. You know what I want you to do? I want you to take this homework. I want you to take the verses that I gave you today. And I want you to look at those verses, and I want you to write down, what is the verse saying? What does the verse mean? And you don't have to write the next part, but if you miss the next part, you might as well not even do the first two. No, I didn't say that. Do the first two anyway, whether you do the third part or not. But the third part is the key. How does it apply to your life? Will you do that homework this week, please, for your sake? What is this verse saying? Because to me, almost every verse has a key phrase, to live as Christ. Whosoever doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's the key phrase. There's a key phrase. What's the point of the verse? So what does that mean, God? How does that apply to my life? Am I living that? Or is that just in my head? I say I know it, but I'm not living it because I don't have the victory from it. He's calling you into a deeper place. This is what you need. This is what you need. This is what you need. This is what your mate needs. This is what your children need. This is what you need to get through your every day. This is how you're going to go forward with Jesus. I got to give you a warning. If you don't walk forward with Jesus, you think you're just standing still while He's going on. The problem is, as Janiah just said, because she read my notes. After 35 years, Dad, I think I got it. Okay. I got it. You don't just stand there. You go backwards. You will find if you don't go forward with God, you will go backwards. You won't stay where you're at. Your life will get worse. It will get harder. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? If you don't do something with the light He's given you, your life will get harder. Watch. I'm in the woods. It's all dark. I got a flashlight. We're not bear hunting. I'm just in the woods. Would you quit? No bulldozer or anything. I'm just in the woods. It's dark. Okay? The snorting brother. I got a flashlight. Watch. It's so simple. When you hold the flashlight in front of you, you step in the light. Because you step forward, the flashlight goes forward. Light is progressive. But if you turn from the light, what are you doing? The light's over there, and you turn this way, what are you doing? You're stepping out of the light into darkness. If you don't walk in the light, you're going to step into darkness. People better than you and me have fallen because they didn't continue in the light. People more gifted, more knowledgeable. It is so simple. Walk in the light. What? Here's the key question for you today. We're done. What light has God given you? What is your next step? What is it God wants for you right now? What's your next step? What light has He given you? Are you walking in it? Or do you just know it in your head? Well, I will. I'm trying to. That's good. I'm trying to. Lord, teach me how to. How about give me some people around me that maybe have been there that can help me to learn to do it? And then quit trying to reinvent the wheel. If God gives you people that tell you stuff and they've been there, do what they say. It works. If it worked for them, it'll work for you. God's no respecter of persons. He's not a magician. He's not going to pull the rug out from under you. Okay? Might push off a cliff. But He won't pull the rug out from under you. Okay. An altar is a meeting place with God. I got to give you an opportunity to come and make a decision with God. So stand up, please. What's God's next step? What's the light He's given you? If you need to come and talk to Him, come and pray, please come and do that. This is for you. This is the most important time of the whole service, because it's what you do with what you've heard. How your life is going to go from here determines what you do right now. I love you.